Blog Talk Radio.
From the deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, the SRI Label Group, Wildlife Educational Services, and Blog Talk Radio present Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover with us the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we discover his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the sunny, unbelievable sunny, kind of cold day here in remote jungle Flint Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson on a wonderful show of Wild World here on radio. We got an exciting guest today. He was on our old edition of our show. But he has lots of exciting things to tell all of us. And Bobby Caldwell, drummer from Captain Beyond, and on and on. Lots of great music projects. He's going to be joining us from Florida. And as always, from the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana, now HD, with that beautiful pine candy. Safe Dr. Day helps the acoustics so much. It's our pleasure to introduce Dr. Day with his Wild World News. Hi, Doctor.
Good afternoon, Mr. Batson. We're pretty excited to have Bobby back on the show.
We are, absolutely. I've actually prepared myself a second cup of coffee for today. Dog sign.
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we get moving with this? Bobby's going to do a short show today, so we'll get on with the Wild World News.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, I was waiting for the intro. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry. There we go.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. All right, so we're going to try to... Go ahead.
I said, I'm so sorry.
Oh, well, that's quite all right. We're going to scamper through the news today so we can get a little more of Bobby on. All right, stop helping the poachers. Los Angeles, California. Antiques dealer Anthony Jones Bucola has received 3 years of probation and a $20,000 fine for selling ivory tusks.
Oh. Well, they might as well just neuter him. Publicly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop helping the poachers. $20,000 fine, that's not peanuts. That's a costly lesson. We hope you learned it.
Yeah.
The wildlife officials are looking into the deaths of two wild horses at the Apache Sitgreaves National Forest in Heber, Arizona. Now, they're not sure. They believe a large cat attacked the horses, but they're doing a necropsy on them now to find out. All right, now, do you remember many years ago when they moved London Bridge to Arizona?
Yes, I do.
Well, for some reason, we're still not sure why, but she's crossed the London Bridge to mark the 50th anniversary of its gift to the city Saturday in Lake Havasu City, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they carried that bridge across the water to have sheep cross it.
Well, God love them.
I don't know why, but yeah. All right, now, I'm sorry. Sorry about this next story, but it's going to make you mad. Boise, Idaho. An Idaho Fish and Game Commission member is under fire after he shared photos of himself posing with baboons that he killed while hunting in Africa.
I saw those pictures. I'd like to be in a room with him by myself. I only need about 10 minutes.
I just can't believe it.
Yeah, I saw those pictures.
Yeah, now you're raising an olive baboon yourself. She's part of your family. She's your daughter, actually.
Right.
And, yeah, I'm with you. I'll go with you if you want to go.
Let me beat him up first, and if there's anything left, then you can have Dr. Day.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right.
All right.
The
third death of a North Atlantic right whale has been confirmed in Nantucket, Massachusetts. Now, they're concerned about this because they don't know what's killing them, so they're going to do a necropsy on it. Also in Biloxi, Mississippi, a rare rough-toothed dolphin washed up on the shore there.
Oh, well.
Yeah, so we got a little thing going on the East Coast there.
Yeah. Hopefully they'll figure that out.
Yeah, that's why they examine them when they come up on the beach there. All right, bad hair day for a black bear in McHenry, Maryland. A black bear was tracked for 3 days, so a bucket stuck on its head could be removed. Yes, of course, after it was tranquilized. But, yeah, 3 days with a bucket stuck on your head. Now, I've gone a couple of days, but not three.
Yeah, I know. That word. Did they have to tranquilize you when they took it off?
Yeah, well, it was with Southern Comfort, though. That's a whole different story.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right, the first phase of a multi-year effort to rebuild the wolf population at Isle Royale National Park in Houghton, Michigan, has started. They're going to try to bring back the gray wolves there, so we hope them the best of luck because they are beautiful creatures and they're necessary for the environment.
Well, I hope they do. The wolves have never had a very good publicity department, PR department, I should say, and it's getting better. In fact, when we've done shows with our wolf, I've actually seen people in the audience cry because they're in the presence of it. So the mentality toward wolves has definitely changed over the years.
Yes, I agree. And for the good.
Yeah.
All right. Strange story out of New Orleans, Louisiana. The state has stepped up the boll weevil trapping after they found two boll weevils in Mississippi. Two boll weevils.
Well, okay.
It's an invasion.
How many were there?
Two.
Oh, yeah. The little suckers are wearing me out already. Okay.
All right. You might have seen this story this past week, Highland, California. Deputies used Doritos to lure a pig the size of a small horse back home after it was found running around the neighborhood there.
Doritos are an amazing thing. The only bad thing about Doritos is it takes palm oil to make them. And we all know how bad palm oil is as far as our environment. But we did a TV commercial years and years ago for Indiana University. And we had to have a deer along the river down southern Indiana. And to keep it in the spot for filming, we took a pile of brush. And the only thing we could find that deer would not leave and would eat, 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 and eat was Doritos. So we put a few Doritos among the branches, and that deer just stood there all afternoon getting his picture taken. Yeah. But that was it.
I can't blame him, though. I like Doritos, too. Well, the police tried to catch the pig, and they were having no luck at all. So somebody got the right idea to buy some Doritos, and that's all it took. The pig made it back home.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. All right.
All right, I threw this one in just because. Savannah, Georgia, the city is searching for a vandal who put googly eyes on a historical Nathaniel Green monument, which the government says is no laughing matter.
Well, they shouldn't just say. Go ahead.
Kind of a waste of googly eyes on a statue because they're not going to move, right? They're just going
to be
googly.
Yeah, I got you.
We're running in time here, so let's. Hey, Bobby, it's time to play.
Yes, sir.
A new part of the show. It's called Who's Gotten Older.
I hate this game.
Larry hates it because he always loses.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to start off with singer Jim Seals of Seals and Croft. Now, he had a birthday this past week. How old is Jim Seals?
Oh, he's got to be at least 25.
At Louisiana.
Bobby already hates the game.
I kind of subscribe to the Jim McGuinn. I was so much older then. I'm younger than that now. You know.
That's right.
My bad pages. Yeah. That's
yes, sir.
Right. I'm gonna say. I'm gonna actually try.
Are you really? Do you really want a real answer? How old Jim Fields?
Yeah.
Is?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess he's got to be probably 71, maybe.
Wow, that's what I was going to say. Okay, I'll go above. I'll say 73.
Well, surprised me, but Jim is 76 on Wednesday. He turned 76.
Well,
yep. Yeah,
all right. How about Gary Puckett of Gary Puckett and the Union Gap?
Oh, now.
Oh, Gary's got to be about 70, 71.
I'll say 78.
Whoa. Mr. Batson got a little closer on this when he turned 76.
Yeah, he's a
Manfred man.
I still got to see these people out of – wait, Larry, I got to still see these people out on the road. I don't want them to stop speaking to me. You know?
Be careful. Charge ahead. show no compassion for fellow man.
I'll say, well, what I really meant was, you know, you're 52, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Still got to see him out on the road. All right, where are we, Dr.? I've lost track. I've lost control. You've lost control. What the
All
heck?
All right, well, I'll tell you, Manfred Mann turned 78 today.
Oh.
Also, singer Elvin Bishop has a birthday today. How old is Elvin Bishop?
Elvin's got to be about 75.
I'll just undercut Bobby. I'll say 70.
Well, yesterday Elvin was 75, but today he's 76. So we got to give that one to Bobby.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
I'll tell you that right
here's
now.
Here's one of your favorites. I know it is. Richard Carpenter of the Carpenters.
94.
Carpenter. Yeah. I Richard's about 70, 72, maybe. 73.
Oh, you waiting for my real guess?
Yeah.
I'm 94.
94. Okay.
Well, I'm afraid Bobby's won that one, too. He turned 72.
Darn.
All right, Bob Weir of the Grateful Dead.
Oh.
Bob Weir. I got to say Bob's somewhere around 74. 74, maybe 75.
74, 75. I'll say
70.
I don't know.
Well, Bob turned 71 on Tuesday.
Oh.
So I think we're going to have to call this one a tie.
Oh, well. Well,
all
thank
right,
you.
Let's do the fact of the day so we can get Bobby on.
Okay.
All right. We're talking about the Peruvian black spider monkey today. Yeah, now the spider monkeys are found north of the Amazon River. Their population has diminished by 50% over the past 45 years, mainly due to hunting, fragmentation, and destruction of their habitats, which is a sad thing. And I know you love the spider monkeys.
Oh, yeah. I've worked with several over the years. What great personalities those guys have. My gosh.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. All right, well, that's the Wild World News for October 21st. Oh, and it is your wife's birthday today.
Oh, yeah, Cheryl's off. For her birthday, she's gone to the lumberyard.
Boy, isn't that nice.
Find stuff to build things. So that's what she's doing. That's what she wanted to do. Don't look at me that way.
I know. There's a lot of wildlife to take care of out there.
Once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters. We do always appreciate the efforts they put in, their research and so forth, to make the Wild World News award-winning around the world. Also like to thank Shelley Leibowitz and SRI Records. What a tremendous collection they have, folks, of downloads. Country, rock, jazz, blues, it's all there. Best collection ever. You'll see it on the SRIRecords.com, SRI Records. Home of all the great music here on Blog Talk's Wild World.
Right now.
rock and roll hoochie coo to jamming with the Allman Brothers live at the Fillmore, creating the amazing Captain Beyond and slamming the backbeat in Armageddon. Bobby Caldwell is still perfecting his craft by creating a new Captain Beyond and letting their music live on with more generations of fans. Plus, there is more Bobby Caldwell music that will show the world that Captain Beyond is still kicking you know what. You know what I mean? World is here. Here he is, everybody. Bobby Caldwell. Hi, Bobby.
Hello there, sir. How are you?
You know, you would have done a lot of interviews, and they would have cut that song off. There ain't no way. I'm playing Jumpin' Jack Flash by Johnny Winter and my buddy Bobby Caldwell, which I consider to be one of the best live rock recordings ever. I ain't cutting it off. Sorry. I'm guilty.
Well, you know, I'll tell you a short, real quick story, Larry, about that song. When we were living up in the country in upstate New York, we used to get together down at this little room and we would rehearse. And Johnny started playing that song, just messing around with it one day. And we kind of all jumped in and we just played it. And it was, you know, sort of haphazard, just, you know. And then we left it. And a few months later, we were rehearsing and we played it again. And it was no big deal. Well, one night, we were in Germany and it was time for an encore.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Johnny starts off. He starts off Jumpin' Jack Flash, and we all looked at each other like, are you kidding me? Because there was nothing really figured out. And what you hear is really exactly how we played it. I mean, we didn't even know what we were – I mean, basically, you know, what we were – what we're doing. So there's just a little anecdote about that. So,
well, you guys, what a group of musicians, and with one of the greatest guitar players ever. I mean, you had to
well,
jump into that. This is just cool. This is just beyond cool.
I want to say for all the people listening that Johnny Winter was one of the greatest singers in the history of rock or pop popular music. I mean, everybody talks about his guitar playing, and that's fine. But I'm telling you, this guy was an unbelievable singer, and all you had to do is listen to 1 minute of that last song, and you can tell how great he was. I mean, the last time we got together, we talked about that, and I told him, I said, Johnny, you know, I said, I'll bet you even forget how great you are as a singer, and I meant it. And so.
Well, you were talking about listening to the end of that recording, how great he was. One of the earmarks of a great singer is to be distinctive, and you only have to listen to 10 seconds of a Johnny Winter song when he starts singing. You know, that is Johnny Winter. No doubt.
Yeah, just tremendous. I really miss the guy. He was just a wonderful person, you know.
You know, he seemed to me, and of course I never had a chance to meet him or anything, and though I was a big fan, I loved all of his albums. But he just seemed like such a gentle spirit to me. It didn't seem like
there
was an aggressive bone in his
body. He was brilliantly smart, deceptively smart. I mean, and he was just a great guy. Just one other footnote. I'll tell everybody. One night, Edgar and I were talking. Edgar Winter and I were talking, and we were talking about Johnny singing, and Edgar said, he's always sang like that. He said when we were teenagers, he said he'd be singing Roy Orbison songs as good as Roy Orbison did on the record. Yeah, he meant it. I mean, he really meant it. So just something for everybody to know.
Well, and as you told that, when I was listening to him earlier, I thought of Roy Orbison and how distinctive his voice was as well. And Johnny's is just as strong, put this out there. What if Johnny Winter had put out the song Pretty Woman?
Mm-hmm. Or Roy would have had opened up with Good Morning Little Schoolgirl. No, I'm kidding.
No, I don't think he could sell it.
I
Frankenstein.
I don't think that would have been his audience, but that's all right.
You know, not really to change the subject a little bit, because I knew that you played with John Lennon. and we want to hear about that. But I play a dribble of guitar. One of the first things I've always was read about John was how he'd like to steal little bits of things to create his song. And I don't know if anyone's ever noticed this before. I'm sure they have, because I'm no genius, that the opening guitar line for Pretty Woman is about two notes off of Day Tripper.
Right.
Did you know that already?
Yeah, I know. I don't know that. I mean, you know, John and all of those guys were influenced by everything they heard, every American record they heard, and they took it in like a sponge. There's I'll Be Back is almost a carbon copy of an old Del Shannon song. I mean, but it really doesn't matter, because everybody's influenced like that, you see. And so I wouldn't pretend to ever say that, but I have met him and I did play with him one evening at a big jam session at the record plant in L.A.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's when he was seeing, and he was seeing May Pang at the time. He had been broken up with Yoko, and there was a big, big party down there, and everyone who was anyone was there. I mean, and I just happened to sit in along with my friend Joe Vitale, and Ringo and that kind of thing, and
Ringo.
So yeah. It was a special moment, you know.
Oh yeah, my gosh, Ringo, Joe Vitale, John Lennon, my goodness, that's
yeah. Everybody was there. You know, you've read about that infamous, and I don't say infamous in a negative way, but get together. And again, there was so many more people that I'm going to take up the time to even talk about. But there was just, let's just suffice to say, a lot of luminaries far more well known than myself, and it was just a lucky night to be able to be invited to it. So,
well, when Joe Vitale was on the show, he talked about that, Bobby, and your name was brought up. I do remember that. So,
oh, did he? Okay,
and he mentioned Bobby Caldwell, because, and there's another nice spirit as well. What a nice guy, but
fantastic guy, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, he is. He's just the best. And a lot of people don't know. And that just to show you, you know, Bobby Caldwell, darn it, my God, ought to be in that damn Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because of all the different musicians he's played with. And, of course, Captain Beyond was so far ahead of his time. But a lot of people weren't aware that your association with the Allman Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Well, that goes way back to the beginning. Way back to the beginning with the Allmans. Yeah, I mean, before they were even known, essentially they were for all intent and purposes, a local regional band, and I was in a group out of Florida at the time, and we played with them up at this get together in Gainesville, Florida one afternoon with a whole bunch of groups. And that's how we became friends. And,
wow.
So, that's how it all started. And there was a time where I was playing with the Allman Brothers at the same time I was playing with Johnny, at the very same time. I mean, instead of sitting around New York, for instance, the Allman Brothers would be out doing all these one-nighters, and Dwayne or Greg would say, you know, Fire, you want to just go with us? And, oh, yeah, let's go. You know, so I would go out and play with them, and that's how that relationship started and remains to this day.
Well, and a lot of people, not unless they've listened to other interviews you've done or listened to your interviews on our show, that Dwayne Allman, his nickname for you was Fire. What was the originality of that?
The way I played, the same thing Johnny called me Fire as well. The I guess just the aggressive spirit of playing, you know, I guess that's where they came up with it, and it sort of stuck, you know.
Well, one of my favorite stories that you've told me in private and so forth was the afternoon that you, I wouldn't say audition. You kind of just decided to show up and see if they wanted to play with you. I mean,
Are you talking about the story I told you about joining Johnny?
Yeah.
Oh, no. What happened? No, that was a jam, quote unquote, jam session.
Yeah.
And I kept, it was a whole group of people at this jam session. And my drum tech called me on the phone and asked me, will you come down and jam? So I'll tell everybody this story again because it is kind of strange.
Yeah.
And I kept – and this is on the phone call, right? So he keeps asking me, Bobby, will you come down and just jam with Johnny? And everybody's down here, blah, blah, blah. I said, I'm not really interested. You know, I said, it's just – jamming is just not my – it's just – it's okay, but it's not my cup of tea. And so we kept talking and talking on the phone, and he asked me several more times, and I politely declined. And finally he asked me one last time, and I said – okay, I'll come down. I went over there. Everybody was playing in this house. I pulled up in front of these people's house. It's right here in Florida. And I pulled up in this house where they were all playing in this guy's parents' house in the living room. And I hear the music coming through the walls and stuff, and when they open the door and people are coming in and out. And it's very, very hot. And I said, every time I would see Dave, the guy who called me, I'd say, Dave, how much longer is it going to be? Are we going to jam here or what's happening? And I just kept seeing these people come in and out. And I didn't even know what they're doing. I just kept seeing people come in and out. And I know it's about 200 degrees outside. And I finally said to Dave, I said, Dave, this is after about an hour and a half of waiting. I said, am I going to play? Because I said, if not, I'm going to go home. And he said, oh, yeah, just hang on a minute. It'll be any time. Let me. So what happened was about 10 minutes later, he comes back out and he says, hey, they're ready for you to play. Well, by this time, Larry, I was just burnt out. I mean, I'm tired. It's hot. Nobody was giving out bottles of water, by the way. You know what I mean? So it's just one of those kind of afternoons. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
So, what happened was, anyway, it was very, very hot. And I went in and I sat down and I started playing this very high, intense sort of drum pattern. And they came in and we all jammed and played for 40 minutes or so together. And when we stopped, Johnny looked at me and he said, I want you to join my band.
Yeah.
And Edgar was standing behind him, and Edgar said, I want you to join my band. And that's what happened. So the moral of the story was only that it was not a jam session at all. It was an audition, and I didn't even know that. So it was okay, though. And so we got.
Well, maybe that made it better. Maybe that made it better. Maybe that made it not so intimidating. How about that?
It could have been, it might have been better that way. I didn't think about it, but that's how it actually started. Those kind of unusual kind of things where, in this day and age, people get together and, they know what they're playing for or what they're going to do. Oh, you want to play with, Hall & Oates or something, so you're doing this audition, along with a couple other 100 people to do it. You know what you're doing. But in this case, it wasn't that way. Nobody knew what they were doing. At least I didn't.
Well, and looking back on that afternoon, and now just between you and me and whoever's thousands that are listening, you were playing pretty damn good that day, weren't you?
Well, let's just say I was prepared.
You know, the good Lord has ways of maneuvering us in the places we should be. In that particular afternoon, that's exactly what happened.
That's correct. And it was so very funny because about a month later or 6 weeks later, I was walking into my hotel in New York, and out comes Dwayne.
Mm.
And they had their Winnebago motorhome pulled up out front, but I didn't really know it was them exactly. And out walks Dwayne, and he said, "Fire, man! What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I'm playing with Johnny Winter now," and he just couldn't have been happier. I mean, Dwayne was so happy, you know, for anybody that he believed that had real talent. I'll use those words. And
sure.
he would really get excited about it. You know, it was like, "Oh, Larry, you got your own wildlife program now on ABC. Fantastic." I mean, he was that kind of guy.
Yeah.
And we just had a big laugh about that. And that right then and there, when I went upstairs and started hanging out with everybody, you know, and we were like, "Hey, how you doing?" Guess, you know, and that's how we started the full time, you know, sort of hanging out together every time we could. So.
Well, in a way, because I've heard this story from you too, from our many chats that we've had, that the Captain Beyond thing really took off when Dwayne Allman heard the demos or the tapes that you'd made with already for that.
Well, that would be correct. We had finished those demos of Captain Beyond, and the Allmans came to L.A. to play the Whiskey. And we went over to the hotel, and we played the demos for Dwayne and Greg, and well, for everybody, you know, whoever was in the room.
Yeah.
And he just was beside himself, and he said, "I got to call Phil right now," the late Phil Walden. And
yeah.
So he called Phil right then and there. And he said, "If you don't sign these people, you're crazy." And that's just exactly how it happened. Yeah.
And now, with the new Captain Beyond, I have to ask. Now, I know you've been played quite a few shows already, but the look on people's faces when they hear this fantastic, marvelous Captain Beyond music again live, that has to be so gratifying for you.
It is. You know, I there was a lot of people, Larry, asking me, I mean, and this is kind of old news, but from about the last 5 years at least, you know, I'd been toying with putting my own band together, putting Captain Beyond together, and I kept thinking, well, I don't know, you know, and so, you know, if I was lucky enough to find the right people, then, you know, I would do it, but it would have to be great. You know, it'd have to be really great to listen to as a listener, or I just wouldn't do it. It would have to be that kind of thing. And fortunately, you know, one thing led to another and started to find the right people. And that's what happened, you know, started finding the right people and finally put it together. And so we've been out playing the last year and a half and, you know, just everywhere, and so we'll be doing that. We've got a big thing coming up the first of the year, and next year we've signed with another agency, and so you know, we're looking to do some things in Europe as well. So, you know, it is. I mean, I'm just happy because I love playing for the people that, you know, they are the ones that it was all done for originally. I mean, those songs. All of the music for Captain Beyond was, I don't know how, most of all of the music in Captain Beyond's music was written by Larry Rhino and I.
Mm-hmm.
All of the lyrics were written by Rod and I, as an example.
Yeah.
I wrote Dancing Madly Backwards. Rod wrote Myopic Void and Armworth. Rod wrote Mesmerization Eclipse. I wrote Raging River of Fear. And so all of that stuff was really shared. Really, all of it was created by Larry and Rod and I, the three of us. And So a lot of people never saw the original band or saw that music played live. You know, they never saw it. So now we're having a chance to do it, and the good Lord willing, you know, hopefully we'll be able to keep it going. And we've got I want to do some new albums here in the near future. This isn't going to be just a sort of a let's, you know, drive around or tour around, and all that's good. But I really want to do a few new albums. So we'll be doing that too.
Were the musicians you're playing with now, were they fans of Captain Beyond, or which I assume probably were?
Yeah. Yeah, they were. Everybody, I guess, in some way had been – well, Jeff, the bass player, had been with me when Rhino and I had had a short resurrection of it around 2000. So Jeff is still with us. And so pretty much, you know, to answer your question, they're, you know, big fans of it.
Well, then they have to feel if they're big fans of it. That's one heck of a responsibility, because I'll tell you, the Captain Beyond that I can remember from that when you guys were at it was basically a band that all musicians, which I think is very important, all musicians, rock musicians, no matter what level, whether they're garage bands or anything, respected Captain Beyond.
Yeah, I mean, for some reason, it still fortunately has a pretty vast appeal to people, and everybody keeps turning out, and just so many people, great people. I mean, honestly, and you know, it's always about people appreciating the music, and I say this every night we play. It isn't about, you know, some particular aspect of this, that, the other. It's about people that get it. You know, they understand the difference between Captain Beyond's music and somebody who's playing some sort of, you know, sort of basic type of thing, which is fine, but that's not, there's a distinction that they recognize, and that's what I always appreciate, you know, so.
Well, and you're such a great, you want the challenge of playing music that is not three chord progressions, but various time signatures that aren't really always associated with rock and roll. I mean, I said at the start of the program that you are one of the best drummers, percussionists in rock and roll history, and that's the absolute fact, because you can listen to the Captain Beyond records, and you can listen to these Johnny Winter records, particularly Johnny Winter and live, and say, wow, who was the guy on the drums? And I would be quick to answer, it is Bobby Caldwell.
Well, you know, I appreciate that, Larry, but you know what's really funny is that my real love is actually writing the songs. That's what I really love to do most. That's mm-hmm. that I get more satisfaction out of that. I mean, I had my own, I don't know if I told you this, my own solo record deal offer from MCA when I lived in LA, and mm-hmm. as a singer, I was singing all the time. I was fronting my own band. I wasn't playing drums then. I was singing all the time. I mean, I would go back there and play drums on occasion, but I was really singing and playing the songs. Where I got tired of trying out singers to do it, I just go up there and sing it because I know how I wanted it to sound. And
yeah.
So what we did is, you know what I mean? And then so that's my real love. I mean, I love still playing drums, and to see how much better, because you can't take it. It's a infinite voyage. It's not finite. You can take this thing as far as you could possibly conceive, and you still won't reach where you could really be. So playing an instrument is like an endless journey, as you know. And so it's kind of like a personal quest. And there's things that I haven't accomplished that I want to accomplish in some years from now. If I say, listen, I've done it all, I've had enough, and or whatever, you know, then I can say, you know, I did it. But there's still a lot still to do.
I know there is. Well, I know you have to go, Bobby. it's always a pleasure. And we didn't even get it into them, what we were going to talk about later on in the program about your interest.
Well,
in,
let's go over a little bit of that, Larry.
Yeah, of your concepts of various things that we find out of the ordinary. We'll just put it that way. And we'll have a special call with Bobby Caldwell. Doesn't that sound fascinating, Dr. Day?
It does, and I'm glad Bobby has gone one step beyond Captain Beyond.
Well, that all that interest in the paranormal, just want to say this for the listeners, all that interest in the paranormal, all of it has been a part of my life since I was a child. And so it all seems perfectly normal to me, as it does to you two.
Sure.
And, you know what I mean? And but we can certainly talk about that at some length at another time if you wish.
Well, we're going to do – I'll tell you what we're going to do, Bobby, because you have to take off. Dr. Day and I, we're going to hang around a little bit, and we're going to listen to some of that Captain Beyond music, such as A Raging River, written by Bobby. Thanks a lot, Bobby. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Larry and Dr. Day. God bless you both, and help protect the wildlife.
Thank you, Bobby.
You're welcome.
Rest in truth.
have to be on here on Blog Talk Radio. Wow. Dr. Day. Bobby Caldwell.
I know. Rock and roll royalty.
He is. And, you know, he's basically disappeared off the musical map. And that's sad. And I really hope this Captain... Now, the new band is really, really good. I've seen a couple of the videos from concerts they've been done on YouTube. They're really good. And they do justice. Of course, here's the thing. Bobby's such a perfectionist. If they sucked, he wouldn't play with it, basically. The music's too difficult.
Well, after each show Bobby's on, he has a lot more listeners.
Well, I hope so. You know, good guy. He's definitely. And as you remember, in that era, as far as musicians go, guitar players, Captain Beyond was it, man. Every garage band, every rock band, they were trying to learn Captain Beyond material. So it was very cool. So did you see the slaughter the Indianapolis Colts did to the poor Buffalo Bills?
Yes, I was aware that they're getting their butts beat, the Bills. Did you see the story at the Indianapolis Zoo this week about the lioness?
Yeah. Killing her husband?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that. That's too bad. It's too bad the people that cared for the animals had to see something like that. That's what's too bad. I mean, it's just Mother Nature. I mean, you know, apparently,
right.
apparently he got
protecting
on her. Yeah. That's it. You know, apparently she'd had enough. And so, see ya. Because, you know, a lot of people in Africa think lions are the king of beasts. Well, that's not true. It's not the lion you think it is. It's the female lions. And they're not the king of beasts anyway because it's hyenas. Hyenas rule the whole show over there on the plains of Africa. Not the lions. That's the concept.
Yeah, and more people are killed by rhinos than they are lions or tigers.
Or trying to eat a quarter pounder too quickly. You know, that happens sometimes too. It almost happened to me a couple times. I told Bobby we're going to listen to a little Captain Beyond before we sign off here, but here's a little more Captain Beyond. Dancing madly backwards, if I remember right. I didn't write my notes complete, but here's CB with Bobby Caldwell. Locked up.
Bye. Hi, everyone. This is Shelley Leibowitz. You're listening to my friend Larry Batson's Wild, Wild World on Wild Talk Radio.
SRI Jazz is proud to present their newest release, This is Ray Brown Jr. That's right, Ella Fitzgerald's son continues to entertain audiences with his warm and charming vocals, making this one of the best vocal jazz albums of the year. Here are some sample tracks from the album. Visit our website to hear all of them in their entirety. Just go to srirecords.com or click on the banner in your media player now.
It's wonderful, marvelous, you should care for me. Awful nights, paradise, what I love to see. My baby, when she walks by, all the bells go, I know why. Simply 'cause that girl's so fine. If she'd ever leave me, I'd lose my mind. She's got the kind of loving, kissing and a hugging, sure he's mellow. Glad that I'm a fella, and I know, 'cause she knocked me off my feet. Have mercy on me. I know for certain, one I love. I'm through with flirting. It's you that I'm thinking of. Ain't misbehaving. Say. Take me, hey, train to go to Sugar Hill, way up in all.
You've been listening to a few sample tracks from the new album, This is Ray Brown Jr. You can hear all the songs in their entirety at srirecords.com. Support jazz music today at srirecords.com. Consideration provided by SRI Jazz.
Great show, Dr. Day.
Yes, it was. And you must schedule Bobby back soon.
Yeah, we're going to talk about ghosts and Bigfoot and all other kind of creepy stuff he's also interested in. It goes beyond Captain Beyond. He's got some stories I'm telling you. I should have scheduled it closer to Halloween, but it doesn't matter what time of the year. It will definitely creep you the heck out. So.
Yeah, that's exactly what we want.
We love our listeners to be creeped out. How about we pitch? Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I bet somehow we do that every week.
Oh, I forgot to tell you my tip on whether it's a good haunted house or not when you're about ready to go in. Have I told you that before, Dr. Day?
No, please. Please tell us.
You know, if you're going into a haunted house and you're really wondering if it's going to be really, really scary, I can tell you when you first walk in if it's going to be that way or not. And you know how we do that?
No, I don't.
See if it smells like pee.
Oh, that's a great idea for our listeners. Yeah. If it smells like pee when you walk in, don't go in. Yeah.
Because it'll certainly make you do you know what.
Makes total sense.
It does. Also, what makes total sense is the amazing band Audiodacity, our friends from Indianapolis, that I know any day are going to go nationwide. So here's the newest one from them. We're going to close out the show, Freedom, on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks, Dr. Day.
Thank you. I love Audiodacity. These guys rock.
Oh, and thanks to Mr. Leibowitz. There's Audiodacity.
dark forest of those that shy be caught. Rewind in time, just think back. Any bigger tree if I was learned, believe that I speak facts. Blank place when we enter this earth. No hate in our hearts at the time of birth. Full of mirth, full of love, full of innocence. No clue what race or religion even is. But the world keeps providing the lines of feet of fighting the masses of classes. No time to be blinded to the effect of mind. So fears cost facts that our thoughts and our words and our words and our actions. With all your preconceived notions of what makes me an American, have a seat, listen in. Do you really think you're better than the person working hard every day just to be a good citizen? You walk tall, but you're standing on the shoulders of the shutdown. Stepped on, never thinking twice about it. Then the second you're offended, you want to pretend this is your land and you can make us be without it. Now you think you can decide how the lives of the people should be led when your eyes want to lie about the truth. You just want to run and hide, and you do with your parents saying it's okay to have any point of view when you disagree. You're another kind of pedigree. True American, you will never see all the beauty in the different ways to be a human being. Every straight gay, colored, white man, woman has the right to be.